The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. News, Lord, we thank you for the good news. We thank you that we can sing new songs to express our joy at the coming of Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, we pray that as we read your word, that we, like Mary, may treasure these things, ponder these things in our heart, and begin to make sense all that it means for us and for the world to which you have come. Come, Holy Spirit, speak, renew, refresh, redirect, convict, and comfort, we pray. In your name, amen. Earlier this week, news broke about Chat GPT. For a while, it was trending on Twitter, and I understand that unless you spend a lot of time on Twitter, unless you are a preacher, you may have missed all the hubbub about Chat GPT. Chat GPT is a large language model trained by open artificial intelligence. To put it in layman's terms, it is an artificial intelligence application that can write papers, letters, poems, explain complex things like quantum computing in simple terms, and wait for it, it can actually write sermons. Chat GPT, the artificial intelligence app, can write sermons. Now I can see the wheels turning for some of you, smart Alex. You're thinking, a sermon written by artificial intelligence. How is this new and different? Fascinated, nevertheless, I decided to give Chat GPT a whirl. I typed in, "Write sermon on Isaiah 52. Click, submit. In less than 12 seconds, I had a sermon. I mean, not this sermon, but I had a sermon. Slightly impressed, I thought, okay, that was a little too easy. Let's put the artificial intelligence to the test. So I gave it the following prompt. Write a Christmas sermon on Isaiah 52 using quotes from Augustine, Bono, Britney Spears, and the Foo Fighters. And lo and behold, out comes a sermon. Luther, Augustine, Bono, and Britney, all ready to put quotes on the slides. And it made me wonder after I read it, would anyone notice? Would there be a noticeable difference? Would the sermon be significantly worse? Or, heaven forbid, significantly better? And now that the sermon is written in 12 seconds flat, what am I going to do with the rest of my week or the rest of my life? In case you are wondering what the Foo Fighters had to say about Isaiah 52, I quote from the AI sermon, finally, the Foo Fighters have also offered reflection on the theme of love in their Christmas song. The band sings, it is the most wonderful time of the year when love and laughter fill the air, end quote. These words remind us of the importance of love and the role it plays in the Christmas story. So far, the Foo Fighters on Isaiah 52. Now, I don't know that ChatGPT is going to put Calvin Seminary out of business anytime soon. It must continue preparing gospel ministers for gospel ministry. The artificial intelligence app gives us a few important disclaimers to note. It may occasionally generate incorrect information. That's good to know. It may occasionally produce harmful instructions or biased content. Oh, you don't say. And it has limited knowledge about anything in the world beyond 2021. Now, of course, even if the artificial intelligence app would be able to avoid incorrect information and would steer clear of harmful instructions and biased content, there are a few things the ChatGPT app will never be able to do. The problem, of course, with artificial intelligence is that someday in the future, the sermons will be so good and the technology of the theology will be so perfect that they will actually be too perfect. Because the one thing that it cannot do, I mean, let's just admit, it is kind of comforting for all of us, for all of you, to have up here a mere mortal, a bumbling, broken, starting the call to worship at the wrong time, flawed human being who announces the good news of the gospel. See, with artificial intelligence, you don't get this, because now what you get is the genuine foolishness of the preaching of the gospel through a mere mortal, through a mere human being. Also, the artificial preacher does not know you. He doesn't know your story. He doesn't know what you've been through in 2022. Maybe AI knows all the lyrics to all the songs that Foo Fighters and Britney Spears have ever sung, but it doesn't know your hopes and dreams. It doesn't know your faults and your problems, your shortcomings and your addictions and your hidden troubles the way a real pastor can. So what you would never get is a preacher who can commiserate with your humanity and sympathize with you or listen to you. But there's something else. There's something even more important that the artificial intelligence preacher can never do. Since it's artificial, and since it's primarily about information or intelligence or technological technique, the algorithms are unable to be gripped, moved, unable to be grasped and changed and filled and anointed like a human being can. Now, this morning, I want to point out one thing and one thing only from Isaiah 52 We've been reading Isaiah all throughout Advent, and now finally, in chapter 52, after all the hard news, after all the words of judgment, after all the unflinching looks at the idolatry and greed and godlessness and apathetic faith of the people of God, at long last, Christmas Day, there is some good news for us to read. And we read in chapter 52 that the voice of the astonished prophet, how beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news. There is a messenger, there is a preacher, and the preacher comes with news of such life-changing significance, such seismic implications, with revolutionary change afoot, the news, the sheer announcement of which changes everything. More than anything, Christmas is about the announcement of good news. Now, the word good news we often translate as gospel. The Greek word for that is evangelion, evangel. It means good news. Theologian Tom Wright, though, reminds us of the depth of that word gospel, because the word news doesn't quite cut it. It doesn't quite have the same weight as evangelion had in the ancient Near Eastern world. A better alternative would be announcement or proclamation. Today, when we use the word news, we often think about an everyday occurrence, whereas the historical word evangelion was far less common and was treated with great importance. Let me give you an example. If in the ancient world a ruler had died, or an army had been vanquished, like the Assyrians or the Babylonians in the book of Isaiah, when a new emperor came to the throne, there would be uncertainty and nervousness. Somebody has just died, and the question then for all the people in the entire realm is there going to be chaos? Will this upend everything? Is our society going to collapse? Are we going to have vigilantes running our cities? Are we going to have food to eat? And then comes the announcement, the good news, the evangelion. We have, here's the announcement, we have an emperor, and his name is such and such, and that means that there will be justice and peace, and the entire crowd goes wild because this is good news. It is an announcement of a tremendous change in the way things are. This word, good news, evangelion, is usually used in the context of announcing a military victory. The gospel is the report of an appointed messenger who arrives on the battlefield saying, "The battle has been won." And you can imagine the scene where you see the messenger running from a distance as he comes around the corner, as he comes around the mountain. He's waving his arms. He is breathless. He can almost not wait to give you the happy announcement. Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of him who comes bringing good news, because what he's got to say is going to change our lives. And as he comes within earshot, he can barely contain himself. He shouts, "I have good news. It's peace. I have good tidings." And everyone looks at him and says, how beautiful are the feet of the one who comes bringing good news. Because it is the announcement of something that has happened, of something that someone else has already achieved for us. In the book of Isaiah, the gospel is the happy announcement of the reign and rule of God. God is in charge. That news is obviously a threat to some, but it announces the end of a regime to others. And it is a good news that people, the people of God, will be able to return from exile. The good news that God is a redeemer and a savior. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news. You know what it feels like to get good news. When your doctor says, we didn't find anything, there is no cancer, or some of you have heard this, the cancer is gone. You remember the good news. How beautiful are the feet of the doctor who brings news like that. Or if after a long and arduous journey of infertility, finally you receive the news. You are pregnant. It's a boy. It's a girl. How beautiful are the feet of the one who brings the good news. Or maybe you receive a long-awaited answer to prayer, something that you have been praying for decades, and finally you receive the true desires of your heart. You know what it's like to feel and to hear that good news. It changes everything. During my brief time of COVID isolation, the last 2 weeks, I surpassed the threshold of what I thought was humanly possible when it came to binge-watching movies. I'm certain I set a record somewhere. In one of the movies I watched, I can honestly not even remember the name of the movie I watched, but it was in one of them. But you've seen this movie 1,000 times. It's a war movie. And the soldiers are all pinned in. They have their back against the wall. There is nowhere for them to go. They are out of ammunition. They are surrounded in enemy territory. They are tired. They are wounded. You've seen this movie. And just when you think it's all done, all of a sudden, in the distance, there is a sound. And it is the sound of usually F-18s, fighter jets, or the helicopters, and it's the bombers that come to the rescue. You've seen these movies, right? Or am I the only one who watches war movies? No, you've seen these movies. And the question usually among the soldiers in distress is, are they ours? And then comes the happy announcement, yes, they are ours. Out of nowhere, they are ours. Here comes the cavalry. And of course, then the movie ends with all the bombs and blasts bursting in air. But how beautiful the sound of those F-18s coming to the rescue. And see, in Isaiah and in Luke, the announcement is everything. And all you can do, all the shepherds can do, and all the followers of Jesus throughout the ages can do, all the people in the entire world gathered together to celebrate Christmas, all we can do really is listen to the announcement. This is our job, because the announcement is good news, and it is good news that God has come to reign through Jesus Christ, and this changes everything. When I was a pastor in the Netherlands, I once entitled a sermon on this passage, Isaiah 52, and the sermon title was, Shut Up and Listen. And of course, afterwards, as you might imagine, several people came up to me to tell me that was rude and a bit crass and offensive. And I tried to argue that I had actually plagiarized it from my favorite theologian, to no avail. I tried to explain, you know, faith comes from what is heard, faith comes by hearing, and they were not impressed. And so now I am far more dignified. I have learned. I have much more politely entitled my sermon for you, Just Listen. But you know what I mean. Frankly, the only takeaway from Christmas is that you shut up and listen. The first thing, frankly, maybe the only thing you need to do at Christmas is just shush and listen. Make sure that you understand that before anything, the gospel is a happy announcement. It is something that you have heard of. It's something that you have seen. The announcer does not come to exegete, lecture, explain, persuade, teach, or orate effectively. God speaks an announcement in your hearing, and your job and my job is simply to listen. Because the announcement of the birth of Jesus changes everything. The God of the universe has come into the world, into brokenness, into human pain, into human addiction and sin, into broken families, into broken hearts. Jesus came into a world of tyranny and forced occupation, a world of terrorism on babies murdered by a desperately anxious emperor, a world in which a tiny family is forced to flee to Egypt. That is the world he came in. And listen to this announcement. He who knew no sin became sin for us. See, there's nothing for you to do. It has all already been done. You just shut up and listen carefully, because he has come to know you and to love you and to be with you and to die for you and to atone for your sins and to rise to everlasting life for you. This is the announcement of the good news. As my favorite theologian, Gerhard Fürthe, says, just be still, shut up, and listen for once in your life to what God Almighty, Creator and Redeemer, is saying to the world and to you in the death and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. There's good news to you. A Savior is born, born to the world. And the central message of Christianity is not a worldview. It's not primarily a way of life. It is not primarily a program for your self-improvement or your societal improvement. It is announcement of a cosmic victory, a convulsive upheaval in the heavens, the unprecedented, unusual, revolutionary announcement that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, has become a human being to live for you and to die for you. This is the good news of the gospel. So just be still and listen. See, if our greatest need was information, God would have created the interwebs for us. If what we really needed was an algorithm or artificial intelligence, that would have sufficed. But instead, what God has decided to do is to come Himself, to send a Savior, and to announce through a preacher the good news of the forgiveness of sins and the good news of life after the death of death. So now the question is, what do you do? Well, in a few moments, we come to the table. And everything you need to know about the good news of Jesus today, you can see at the table. Because you've heard the announcement, the happy announcement of salvation coming to you through Jesus. You weren't expecting it. You didn't deserve it. You weren't involved in it. You weren't looking for it. You didn't imagine it. And he basically says to you, a child is born. So all you do is say, please, yes, thank you. And you come with open hands like this, and the communion server will give it into your hands. And it is everything you need to know. It is a tangible reminder of the way the gospel works. I bring nothing. I come with an open mouth, with an open heart, with open hands, bringing to this table only the sin that made this sacrifice necessary. So come and hear the good news. Come and listen. Come and receive. Come, take and eat. Jesus Christ is born for you and for me, the Savior of the world. And so we will now celebrate the feast of the redemption of the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the shock and awe of good news. We thank you that joy has come to the world and that all we can do is listen and now, because of what we have heard, sing. Fill our hearts with joy as we respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.